Okay, so let's go to the Torah portion. And today's Torah portion, Parshat Noach, rest. Genesis chapter 6 from verse 9 till 11, verse 32. And today I want to mention about life of Noah, but we'll speak about different subject. Not different, but the same subject from different place of Scripture. So my message today, the name of my message, timing is everything. Timing is everything. Comprehend the times and the seasons. This is such important theme in our lives. You have often heard it said, timing is everything. A traffic signal has a color, green, yellow, or red. It tells you when to stop and when to go. And better to be obedient. Trust me. Because timing is everything. When the conductor waves his baton, he tells the orchestra when to play and when to be silent. Are you agree with me? Can you be without conductor? It will be very, very hard to hear this opera or something. Why? Because timing is everything. When an army unit prepares to attack the enemy, it waits for the instant when the commander shouts, forward, because timing is everything. And in today's Torah portion, Noah tells us very clearly the importance of recognizing the right time when it comes and being patient as you wait for its arrival. You know, when I'm reading the story in the Bible about Noah, always, every time, I'm always amazed how Noah understood that timing is everything. He was righteous, yes, he walked with the Lord, but he was able to see timing in his life. It is very important for you and me to hear the Lord and to understand the desires, what he desires for you and me to do. It's very important to hear his voice. But it is equally important to understand the timing he has in mind for us. To wait for his signal regarding when you are to proceed. It's not enough to hear his voice. We need to be wise enough to understand his timing. Where to go, when to go. To hear his voice now. Noah is a wonderful example of a person who was able to take a word from God, to know his will. The Lord told him to build an ark, to build the ark, but also to wait for the fulfillment of his prophecy and by his patience to completely fulfill the will of God. He was the man of time. You know, I want to tell you small truth, and don't tell anyone, please. It's between us. Noah did not try to build the ark overnight. It took him 100 years to build it. You can imagine how the world might change in 100 years. And especially in times when, as the scriptures tells us, sin multiplied on the earth. It was dramatic change in the world. And he was able to sustain and to be accurate in the timing, to build an ark from the beginning until the end. And better to build a good ark. To put all nails in the ark, yeah? Do not skip anyone over that. What do you think? Yeah, I know some people like to, you know, to have economists there, but he was good on it. How many times did people make jokes about Noah? How many threats did he receive from his neighbors as they observed him working on that massive structure? And where? On the top of the mountain. He built an ark, a boat, on the top of a mountain as a testimony for people around him, testimony of God's mercy and his wrath. He was a preacher of good news for them. And I think he had every reason to give up, to say, that's a now, I quit. He had every reason to say this. For 100 years, I think he had rough times and good times. He had doubts and joyful days. And can you imagine the atmosphere around him? Everybody's mocking him, trying to pull him out of his job, his goal, God's will for his life. I have a question for you. What would happen to the world if Noah had worked on the ship only for 99 years? Can you hear me? Only for 99 years. Almost done, you know? Except Ruth. And if he, and then one day decided that something was wrong. So what if in his disappointment and discouragement, Noah just threw down his hammer and stopped working? What would happen to the world, to us? So can you see that he was able to see timing from the beginning of his calling until the end? And he was faithful in all that time for 100 years and later for sure. And can you imagine how glad he was after this 100 years? When the rain stopped pouring out, he said, Lord, thank you so much. I was able to sustain, to accomplish your will. Certainly, there have been many people called by the Lord who were short on patience, who were not sensitive to the Lord's timing, who didn't wait for their time, who became disappointed with the Lord, who just threw down their hammer and walked away. I believe many people did this only because they were not ready to see God's timing in their lives from the beginning until the end. Sometimes there may be those who gave up and today they are full of bitterness and they became to be skeptical about everything connected with faith only because they don't see right timing from the Lord. Maybe they heard the voice from the Lord. Maybe they heard calling from the Lord, but they were not ready to see the Lord's timing for them. It is so important. Say with me, it's important. Not only know the will of the Lord, but keep timing with the Lord. Since we recently celebrated Jewish Bible holidays, I would like to give a very instructive story from the life of our people of Israel. And I would not say nothing new, everything you know already, but it will be an interesting story. So this story happened on the days of the great Passover holiday when Yeshua entered Jerusalem on a donkey. So let's read these scriptures together. It's in Matthew chapter 21. Let's open Matthew chapter 21. I will give you time to open it. Matthew chapter 21. So, and remember that the Jews in Jerusalem were the most religious people in Israel and the most knowledgeable of the Torah and the prophets. Please remember it and keep it in your mind when you will read it. So the Jews in Jerusalem, they were most knowledgeable in the Torah because they had temple there, they had all the ministry there, high priest was there, Sanhedrin was there, everything happened in Jerusalem. They were very careful and knowledgeable. So with this in mind, let's read from verse 8, Matthew 21, verse 8. So here, right before Passover time, from verse 8. Most of the crowd spread their clothing on the road, and others began cutting branches from the trees and spreading them on the road. The crowds going before him and those following kept shouting, saying, Hashana to Ben David, Baruch Haba Beshem Adonai, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna in English. Hosanna in the highest. Can you imagine this picture? Crowds shouting, Hosanna! Hosanna to Ben David, son of David. Let's open John chapter 12, the same story from Yohanan, John chapter 12. 12:12. It's easy to remember. Chapter 12, verse 12. The same story. Because it's even give us broader picture. The next day, the huge crowd, I like this word, huge crowd. So it's more careful here. The huge crowd that had come up for the feast heard that Yeshua was coming to Jerusalem. So they took palm branches and went out to meet him, saying or shouting, Hosanna, Baruch Haba Beshem Adonai Melech Israel. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, the King of Israel. Oh, wait a minute. What's going on here? And look at the verse 19. What's going on there? Here's their his enemies. People who want to kill him. So the Pharisees said to each other, you see that you can't do anything. Look, the whole world has taken off after him. And remember, they were the most religious people in Israel, Jews who lived in Jerusalem. So, what's going on? It turns out that the Jews of Jerusalem accepted Yeshua as their Messiah. They proclaimed, Baruch Haba Beshem Adonai, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, the King of Israel, son of David. And if you know the story, the son of David, this is the one of the titles of Messiah, son of David. So they recognize him in Israel, in Jerusalem, the most religious Jews who knew Torah and half Torah and everything. Exactly, prophets. So, son of David, this is the title of the Messiah who, according to prophecies, was to restore the kingdom of Israel and bring the long-awaited freedom to the Jewish people. And they recognize him as the Messiah. I mean, for some people it's hard to believe, but it's here, it's documentary, it's fact. They praised Yeshua and saluted him as the King Messiah, shouting, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. They took palm branches in their hands and prayed the traditional ancient prayer called Hashanot. Hosanna Rabbah, Hosanna, save us. This prayer, part of the prayer Hashanot, the old prayer. It's so cool, so strong. So let us see slide, please, here. Oh. Does this picture remind you of any of the holidays that we recently celebrated? Yeah? It's not Halloween, no. No. Oh, thank you so much. I can hear a voice. On which holiday do we take the lulaven and trog in our hands and shake it in front of us? Sukkot. On which holiday do we pray the Hashanot, the traditional prayer, Hoshana Rabbah, Hoshana, save us and have mercy on us? Because Hoshana, Hosanna, it means save us, save us. They told him, save us with lulav in their hands. Save us, Yeshua, son of David, the king of Israel. Blessed are you who comes in the name of the Lord. And who did it? It was no Christianity. No Baptist, no Pentecostal, no Catholic church there. It was religious. It were religious Jews, most religious Jews in Jerusalem, who knew Torah and Tanakh. That's right, on the holiday of Sukkot. So it looked like, what a victory. Yeshua accepted as the Messiah, as the King. Everything is great. The prophecies were fulfilled. He came as a king into Jerusalem, and he was accepted by Jewish people. Everything's fine. Story stopped there. No. But let's see what's happened next. Thank you so much. After a short time, the same crowd that prayed and greeted Yeshua with the words, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, son of David, king of Israel." The same crowd began to scream just as loudly, "Crucify him." The same people of Jerusalem, the same religious, knowledgeable people. What is the reason why there was such a drastic change in their views and behavior? What's happened there? Why they changed their mind so quickly, in a few days? And there are many reasons, I know, and we can go through any of them. But remember that the Jews of Jerusalem were some of the most religious and knowledgeable Jews in the nation. It was something very important. I believe one of the reasons, from my perspective, one of the main reasons why they changed their minds is that they did not recognize the correct time. Everything's correct, except time was wrong. That is, they did not understand the prophecies of Scripture and God's will for their time. For their time. Then, 2,000 years ago. They expected the Messiah who would ascend to the throne of David and defeat the enemies of Israel. But they did not recognize the Messiah that the prophet Isaiah spoke of in the 53rd chapter, who came to die for the sins of the people and bring atonement and redemption from the biggest enemy of mankind. An enemy even more notable than the Romans. That enemy was sin and death. Isaiah 53, from verse 5. Isaiah 53, 5. I want to read it because it's an important place of Scripture. "But he was pierced because of our transgressions, crushed because of our iniquities. The chastisement for our shalom was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed." We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us turned to his own way. So Adonai has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. Like a lamb led to the slaughter, like a sheep before its shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth. This is the Messiah. So those Israelites got their holidays confused. They got their times confused. They began a celebration appropriate for Sukkot. But was it Sukkot? No. It was Passover. They came to him with Etrog and Olav, with Hoshana, Rabbah, but it was time of Passover. Sukkot is a holiday foreshadowing this establishment of the kingdom of the Messiah on earth. This is the main goal of Sukkot. Zechariah 14th chapter says that all nations will come to worship in Jerusalem for Sukkot, and that the Messiah will be king over the earth. Zechariah chapter 14, you can read for yourself. This holiday speaks about kingship of Messiah, his rule above all the earth. Therefore, they spread their clothes and shook the branches and prayed with a special prayer called Hashanot, as if celebrating Sukkot, the Messianic era on earth. They were ready to accept King Messiah, but they were not ready to accept Joseph Messiah, sacrifice Messiah. Yes, it was a correct thing to do, to worship the Lord, to worship Messiah. But they did it at the wrong time. They missed the time. Sukkot is the last of God's appointed times. Passover is the first. If you'll read it, everything starts from Passover and ends on Sukkot. We are the people who want an end, not at the beginning. We want soon and speedily. But this is not how it works. Not always. Their Sukkot celebration was done on Passover, the days that speak of the death of the Passover lamb, the blood of redemption, the liberation from Egyptian slavery, and 40 years in the wilderness. I mean, all the pictures are so deep, so important. After Passover, 40 years. Of the Messiah who will bring atonement for our sins by his death. And I would like to give them points because they recognize that he was the Messiah. They recognize him. They tell he is the Messiah, son of David. Tragically, they didn't recognize the correct time. Because they were expecting the prophesied Sukkot Messiah, but instead got the prophesied Passover Messiah. His actions did not fulfill their expectations and left them feeling very disappointed in him. They were disappointed in him because they were waiting for a different Messiah. Because they allowed disappointment, the joy and worship of the Messiah in their hearts changed into anger and thirst for punishment. And from Hoshana, they came to the point, crucify him in their hearts. So what a lesson for, this is for all of us. All of us. This is a great lesson for us. Don't think about them there. Think about you here. Your experience. You walk with the Lord. The calling into your life. Yeshua understood this, and therefore, a little later, when he approached Jerusalem again, after a short time, he said his famous words, famous words. It's in Matthew chapter 23. It's next chapter from this. Matthew 23, verse 37. Matthew 23:37. I believe you know these words because it's so famous. He said, "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, who kills the prophets and stones those sent to her. How often I longed to gather your children together, as the hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you were not willing. Look, your house is left to you desolate. For I tell you, you will never see me again until you say, 'Baruch haba b'shem Adonai.'" They already said it. They already did it. A few days ago. But in wrong time. In their head. "Baruch haba b'shem Adonai. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." So timing is everything. This will happen in the fullness of time, when at last the people of Israel will recognize him at his second coming, not only as the redeeming lamb who came to suffer and die for our sins, but also as the king who comes to reign forever over the whole earth. And all Israel will be saved. Great. We are all waiting for this day. And the Messianic movement is the prophetic voice of the coming Messianic era. We are a prophetic movement. Hosanna, Baruch haba b'shem Adonai Melech Israel. Hosanna, blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord, the King of Israel. These are our dream, our song, our prayers. Baruch haba b'shem Adonai. In our lives, we're all tempted to be impatient because often we think that God didn't move fast enough for us. He may give us a calling, but it may take a time and preparation for us to answer the call of God. Sometimes it takes time to wait until him to come and move us forward. So we need to be careful, wise, to comprehend the time and patiently prepare our ways. We need to be very careful. So in closing, a few minutes. For those of us who may be disappointed, who may be about to throw down the hammer and quit, if anybody is here in this condition, who may be tired of building the ark of your salvation. You know, with every one of us, we build our arks spiritually. Our life, it's long life exam from the Lord, long life test from the Lord to build our ark. Who may be tired of building the ark of your salvation. I have an example of God's grace for such as you. Sometimes, you know, perhaps you have heard the call of God in your life and are trying to do everything in your power to fulfill God's will. But it seems to you that nothing is happening. Everything seems so far away. Sometimes it's happened. Remember that God is merciful and loving God. He is God of a second chance. Remember, never too late. And the short example of Moses, he is the best example, the best in the scriptures. I love his example. So the Lord told him to lead people out of Egypt. It was his call from the Lord, his task, his calling. Let my people go. And here he is, Moses. In the prime of his life, he's 40, having an important connection in the house of the Pharaoh. He was grandson of Pharaoh. He knew many people, important people there in Egypt. He was very famous there. Knowing what and how to save the people of Israel from oppression, he kills the Egyptian, the enemy, thereby setting the example for the rest of the Jews regarding fighting for their freedom. He was sure, this is the right time. We will gain our freedom. We will kill all Egyptians. Now it's our time. And you know the results? Do you remember? Yeah, we were there. Yeah. As a result, he loses everything and hides in the deserts for 40 years to avoid the wrath of Pharaoh, his grandfather. During these 40 years in the desert, when all he had to do was take care of sheep, it's all. It was his responsibility. I think he asked himself many times what it was. Was it the call of God or what it was in my life? What I did wrong? I tried my best. Maybe it was my imagination. Or maybe the Lord has good sense of humor. But after 40 years, in his young 80s, early 80s, when he no longer wanted anything, nothing, he already done. He finished with calling with everything. When he gave up on the call of God, suddenly the Lord used his imagination when he saw the bush, you remember? Oy vey. You know why some Jewish people has long nose? This is the reason. He went there to look, what's going on there? Suddenly the Lord called Moses to action. Suddenly. He was not expecting anything. He went through all the doubts, all the questions, all the hard times. He thought, okay, too late. I'm done. The Lord chose somebody else. What was a surprise for him? It was a surprise for Moses, for Israel, and for whole world. He upside down all the world. He shook all the world. So if you are in position of Moses today and torment yourself with condemnation, or even worse, if you, as did the Jews in Jerusalem, even though you received a word from God and recognized the Messiah, yet never realized the fulfillment of the prophecy in your life, and now you have allowed bitterness and disappointment into your heart, if you're in this condition, difficult condition, I want to give you comfort and encouragement. Nothing has been lost. It is not too late. Nothing has been lost, as it is not too late. If you hear my voice, it is not too late. It is to you. God loves you and always on your side because He is your Father. And to put foundation, it's Hebrews chapter 10, one of my favorites. Hebrews 10:35. Therefore, do not lose your boldness, which has a great reward. For you need perseverance, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. Already done, but keep perseverance. Go forward. Don't lose hope. Because you may receive the promise. It's in front of you. For yet, in a very little while, the coming one will come, and he will not delay. But my righteous one shall live by emunah, it means faith or trust. And if he shrinks back, my soul takes no pleasure in him. But we are not among the timid ones on the path to destruction, but among the faithful ones on the path of the preservation of the soul. Amen. I want to stop here and I want to pray for all of us here who in this condition. We need to understand timing of God, because timing is everything. Time is everything. Lord, thank you for your presence in this place, Lord. And I pray for every one of us who is going through difficult times, Lord, who is asking and who is doubting in their calling, Lord, please bless us, Lord, and help us to be strong, to keep moving, Lord, to be faithful, to build our ark. And doesn't matter how many years it will take, Lord, help us to be faithful. Thank you so much for your presence, Lord, with us. Thank you for the Holy Spirit with us, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your mercy. In the name of Yeshua. Amen. Amen. So let's close with Aaronic benediction and let's bless the Lord for everything. Let's pray. Yeverechech Adonai veishmerecha Yaher Adonai panavelecha vichunecha Issa Adonai panavelecha veyasem lecha shalom. Shabbat shalom.